I'm reading Joshua 24:14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped behind the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods, to forsake the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God. The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, it's Confirmation Sunday. It's always an exciting Sunday. You all have been working it hard. Just in case you're visiting and you may not be aware, these students have been in a process for many weeks now where they've been meeting in small groups. They've been meeting weekly with their mentors, just about weekly, with their mentors, answering questions. Many of you have served in that way, and I'm really appreciative of that. They've done retreats, two retreats, one at the beginning, one at the end, which is really helpful because they come from many schools, and so it's a way that they can get to know each other. And I know that families who are here, you've made some real sacrifices to make that happen, and I really appreciate that. I hope this has been a really important time in your life, and it's one point along your longer journey, but I think it's a really important time. And I sat right where you're sitting, not in those exact seats, but I was once confirmed in the church as well. In fact, I'm curious, how many of you went through confirmation? Just raise your hand. Hey, look, turn around. You guys who are being confirmed, just try and look at all these hands. So we've done this, right? Amen? And it's a lovely thing. So now, would you pray for me and with me as we begin this time? Lord, we celebrate what these students have done, but we celebrate and anticipate all they will do. And I believe that the decision that they make today and the confirmation that they make today, which is one of many they'll have to make in life, is more important than anything. And I pray that the words of my mouth would be a blessing, and that you would use them, and that you would help me not get in the way of the message that you would like to speak into their hearts. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of you know, if you've been coming here for any length of time, that Confirmation Sunday I speak to the students, and the rest of us get to overhear it, and people have always been so gracious about that, and that'll be true. And so what I want to say to you this morning is there is not one thing that God doesn't know about you. There is not one thing. And so the Lord has worked out a deal with me today, and I've chosen one of you, and we're going to put up on the screen, we're going to put a video of everything you've ever done that nobody else knows about. It's kind of scary to think, right? When I was graduating high school, a Catholic priest said that. He said, when you get to heaven, there will be a movie shown of your entire life. And everything you've ever done will just be out there. And I just remember sitting in the high school auditorium thinking, I really hope not. I hope that's not true. But it is true. God knows your mind. I mean, you may not know this, but I'm a bit clairvoyant myself. I know things. Like when I look at you in the hallway, if you start to feel guilty, it's because I know. If you start to feel really happy and really joyful, like you just did something really great, it's because I know. All right, now, I'm going to prove that to you right now. And everybody in the church, you're all welcome to do this. But the confirmands, I think we've given you like a pencil and a note card. Do we have that to pass out? Oh, do we have to pass it out? Okay, next service we're going to have them in the chairs. But let's hurry up. We don't have time here, people. Let's go. You may want to take out a pencil or a pen and use your bulletin. You can do this right along with them. I think you're going to want to. I think if you don't take out a pencil or a pen, you're going to feel left out in just a moment. So I would encourage you to do that. I'm certainly don't have any power to make you do that, but I would encourage you to do that. But I want to make sure the confirmands have a pen and pass it as fast as you can. Yeah, thank you, Derek, for doing that. That was really good. Pass the cards the same way, Derek. That was really helpful. Good. So, everybody ready? Those of you being confirmed, y'all have something to write with? Raise your hand if you don't have something to write with. Okay, we're whole. You have something to write on? Good. Here we go. I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. A number between 1 and 10. You can write that number down or you can just think of it. But why don't you write it down? Between 1 and 10. Write your number down. Now, I'd like you to multiply that number times 9 and write that down. So you've written a number down between 1 and 10. Now you've multiplied it by 9 and you've got a product from that. If that's a two-digit number, then I want you to add the digits together and then circle that number. So you've got that number. I want you to now subtract 5 from whatever number you have and circle that number. Now, I want you to think about the letter of the alphabet that that corresponds to in this way. A would be 1, B would be 2, C would be 3, D would be 4. So you've got a number that you've circled, that last number. Does it correspond to A, B, C, and so on? Okay? Does that make sense, everybody? You can ask your friend next to you if you're... Okay, you ready? You've got a letter now written down. Think of the first country you think of that corresponds to that letter. Country of the world that corresponds to that letter, and write that country down. Now circle the last letter of that country. Circle the last letter of that country, and now what I want you to do is to think of an animal whose name begins with that letter. Think of a name of an animal that starts with that letter. Now, I'd like you to circle the last letter of that animal. Having circled that last letter, take a look at the letter, and I want you to write down the name of a fruit that starts with that letter. Any fruit that starts with that letter, the first one you think of. Now, raise your hand if you have these three words written on your paper. Denmark, kangaroo, orange. Raise your hand. Take a look around. I'm clairvoyant. I know. So just remember that. Later when I look at you, just remember that. I already know. No, I don't. I'm not. You know, a couple of you are more international, and so you have Dubai and then a lot of other things that I don't know are there, right? A couple of you are a little bit more international, but listen, if I can predict what you're going to write on a piece of paper, if Tom Berlin can do that, who is anything but clairvoyant, you have to believe that God knows what's in your heart and in your mind. Would you agree with that? The one who created you knows you. And doesn't just know you a little bit, knows you completely. Knows what you love and what you don't love, knows what excites you, knows your wonderful personality, knows what's unique to you and celebrates it. The same way that if you created a beautiful piece of art, after you made it, if it was a beautiful sculpture, you might walk around it every so often and go, that looks good and I did it and I'm really proud of it. That's what you would do. There's a pastor whose name is Max Lucado, and I love this phrase he uses. He says, there is a picture of you on God's refrigerator. Isn't that something to think about? My pictures. God's refrigerator. Your picture. God's refrigerator. It's a very big refrigerator. Very large refrigerator. But you're on it. But God also knows what a struggle it is to be in a relationship with the Lord. And that's what Joshua knew. That's what this scripture that you just heard read is about. Joshua knew what the Lord knows, that being in a relationship with the Almighty is is a little complicated, and that's why we've taken all these weeks for you to learn about that. That's why we've taken the retreats and the mentors. That's why we've come at this at different angles, just so that you can think hard about what it means. And so Joshua says to his people, he says, hey, fear the Lord and serve him in all faithfulness, and throw away the gods that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Here's what's amazing. They've been on a journey for over 40 years, like probably by now 50, 60 years. They've been on this journey. They came all the way from Egypt. They crossed the promised land. They got in the promised land. Then they had to settle the promised land and make it secure. And when they did all that, when they finished all that, Joshua is still saying, throw away the idols of the people before Egypt and the ones you picked up in Egypt. And apparently, people still love things more than they love God. They still trust things more than they trust God. And Joshua says you have to choose to stay whom you're going to serve. You can either serve the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and the people in whose land we now dwell, or you can serve the gods of the Egyptians, or you can serve the gods of our forefathers and foremothers before we ever came to Egypt. But today you've got to choose. Serve the Lord. And then he gives this really famous line. He says, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is pushing them to do something that there's an expression people use today, DTR. You probably don't know what that stands for. Anybody know what that stands for amongst our confirmants? Anybody knows what that stands for? Those initials stand for define the relationship. People that are a little bit older than you that are dating, they use that phrase sometimes. They'll say, hey, it's time we define the relationship. It's when two people look at each other and like, are we friends? Are we more than friends? What are we? You got to define the relationship. And today, when you hear this text that it comes from Joshua, Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then all the people look to Joshua, all of them. So imagine like a crowd, not this large, but like, so much larger than this. Thousands of people. The people all agreed, says the Bible. And they said, we too will serve the Lord because the Lord is our God. And Joshua looks at them and look, everybody look at me. Imagine this. You go, we, in fact, say it. Say, we will serve the Lord. Go ahead and say that.
We will serve the Lord.
Yeah, but say it like with some oomph, all right? Go, do it again. One, two, three. And then imagine if Joshua looked at you and went, no, you won't. I know you. I know you. You're going to serve. You're going to be so tempted to worship idols, to trust things that aren't trustworthy. You're going to be so tempted to just leave it all behind. It's not that he judges them. It's not that he doesn't like them or doesn't believe in them. It's that he knows them. Because they are like all people everywhere. It's just sort of hard when we define the relationship to live into it. Because it's one thing to believe, as I do, we already know. In your case, for instance, we already know that God loves you. That part of the relationship is totally secure. That part of the relationship is known and stated. God already thinks you're outstanding. God already knows what makes you unique. God is crazy about you even when you don't always get it right. God does not anticipate that you're going to be perfect. And God is so good. It's so good because when there are times when you sin or when you fall away from the Christian life, you're going to be able to turn to the Lord in your own prayer time or come into a place like this, and you're going to be able to say, God, forgive me, and you will be forgiven. That's how much the Lord loves you. And by the way, other people around you may remind you for the rest of your life how what you've done wrong, but not the Lord. Amen? Oh, isn't it good that when the Lord loves us and forgives us, he casts our sin to the furthest distance and remembers it not? That's not the question today. The question is, what will you do? What will you be in this relationship? It's one thing to say that you want a relationship where you receive God's love and where the love of God will come to you. It's quite another to live in a way that you honor and love God with your life. That's the difficult part. And so today you come to define this relationship with God, and in so doing, today when you are confirmed, everybody look up here, when you are confirmed, you are making a covenant with the Lord when you kneel right there. That's what this is about. And Joshua is telling the people of Israel that this covenant that they make to put God first in their lives, that it's there's just nothing more important than that. Because from that decision come 1,000 other decisions. From that decision, they will define themselves. You are going to go to school on Monday. The vast majority of you are in the 8th grade, if not all of you. Next year, you're going to enter a high school. And you're going to be tempted to not honor God with your life. You're going to be tempted the way all of us are tempted. It's not just you, it's all of us. You're going to be tempted to treat other people poorly in what you say about them. You're going to be tempted to gossip about others. You're going to be tempted to tear people down rather than lifting them up. And you're going to be tempted to misuse things, good things. You're going to be tempted to misuse a device that looks just like this. You're going to be tempted to use the social media apps that are on this device to tear people down instead of lifting people up. You're going to be tempted to do things that in the history of humanity, people have never done with a device like this. You're going to have to decide in that moment who you are. Choose this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua says. You are growing up in a world that is like the world has always been. You are not the first generation to face temptation. You are not the first generation to wander off the path. And the Lord God will continue to love you. But you're going to be tempted to think that it's okay not to stand up for others when people are making fun of them, when people are putting them down or pushing them out. You're going to be tempted to think that it's okay to go along with the crowd. You're going to be tempted, this is the worst thing of all, you're going to be tempted to think that your life can't make a difference. And in so doing, you will lose your courage. But you can serve the Lord. You really can. You can do it. And if you will just do the smallest of things, stand up in the smallest of moments, God will give you compassion, kindness, courage, faithfulness to do not just good things, but great things. And sometimes the great things are so quick and fast, nobody's ever going to see them. Sometimes you will lift somebody else up, and you will stand up for somebody in a way that nobody ever is going to say, and today we want to honor Fred, you know, because in the hallway today, he said the right thing, he did the right, nobody's going to give you that award. But make no mistake, God is watching you. Not to penalize you or to judge you, but to celebrate your courage, to celebrate who you're becoming and the decisions you make. Choose this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua is saying. It'll have a cost. It always has a cost. If you think that you're going to live the Christian life and never have a cost, never pay anything, never do anything that's hard, it can't be done. And it's going to happen in ways that you can't even imagine. I read this week about a guy whose name is Josh Farron. His wife is Tara Farron. They bought a house. They buy this old house, and they go to what's called closing, and that's where you pay the money, and they give you the keys to the house. And Tara had to go home and get the kids, but Josh drove over to the new house. It's not new, it was old house, but their new house. And he wanted to see it, and he walked inside the house, and he was just walking room to room, looking at the house, imagining their kids in the house, imagining the fun, looking at the backyard, thinking, this is our house. He walks out in the garage, and he looks up, and he'd never even noticed it before. There's a little door above the cabinets, like a storage area. And there's a little piece of carpet sticking out of it. There's a little tiny piece of carpet. So he goes out to his truck, and he grabs a ladder, and he comes in, he puts it up, and he climbs up, and he opens this door, and he looks inside. It's musty, it's old, smells, you know, kind of funky. And he opens the door, he looks inside there, and there's a metal box. It's an old metal box that was used for ammunition in World War II. It's about this big. Some of you have seen these steel boxes. He pulls that box out, he puts it down, he opens it up. Do you know what's inside? Stuff full of money. It's a big pile of cash in bundles, and then some old bonds and some stamps and just stuff that's just put in there over the years. And he looks at it, and he takes it home, and he calls his wife. He goes, I have a little surprise for you from the house. Now, here's something you should know about buying a house. If you buy a house, once you do the closing, everything in the house conveys. Anything that's left there, it's yours. So this box is theirs now. Now, they've got these two sons. They go home, they put on the table, and they're just amazed by this, and they're laying the money out, and they start counting. It takes them a couple hours to count out all the money. The boys are really happy. The boys have never seen this much money in cash. Well, actually, none of them had ever seen that much money at one time in cash, and they're counting it out, and Josh and Tara, they start talking about it, and finally Josh says, you know, we can't keep this. And Tara said, that's exactly what I was thinking. See, the man that owned the house had died about a year earlier, and his son was the one who sold him the house. And what Josh and Tara said to each other is, they said, you know, he either put that money away to take care of himself or to give it to his children. And it's just not right for us to keep it when that was his intention. And so they took the money and they put it all back in. And they did it because it was right. They did it because it was good. But let me tell you the reason that they did it. The main reason they did it, they're Christians. And you got to define the relationship. You have to decide in moments like that who you're going to be. Hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. Best thing you'll ever do in your life. Their sons were not so excited. Their sons were like, couldn't we just keep a stack? Just a little stack. What's a little stack of money amongst friends? Who's going to know? And the mom and dad, they said, well, no, you'll always know. You'll always know you kept it. So they put it all back, and they locked the box, and they took it over. As you can imagine, the son was just amazed. DTR, those are the initials. Joshua knew that defining the relationship had a cost as well as a benefit. He knew it was going to be hard, and so he pushes back on the people. The people, he says, you're not going to serve the Lord. And the people say, no, we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Imagine this. Imagine what he's saying is, hey, when you knelt down, when you got on your knees and you gave your heart to Christ, when you did that, we were all witnesses. Even in the moments when you forget, we're going to remember. It's not a threat. It's not a guilt thing. It's an encouragement moment. It's to say, in community, we help each other remember who we are and whose we are. We are God's people. But you see, it's so easy to trade that for the things around you, the stuff that our society says is good and purposeful. It's easy to do that and never come here again. Can I just tell you something? A little disappointment in my life. People do it all the time. And I'm sad when the priority is no longer a priority, because I really do believe there's no life like the life that Jesus gives you. I want to tell you something about following Jesus. He will take you to places you never thought you would go. He will open your eyes to things you would have never seen otherwise. He will push you to be more loving, more compassionate, smarter, more focused and passionate about anything you've ever been. When you do things for Christ, you will do them with your whole heart. And you can trade all that away the same way Esau traded his birthright for a pot, for a little bowl of stew. Choose this day. Define the relationship. All these people around you, take a look at them. Turn around. Just turn and look at them. Look, really turn your head, just way around. We got to look at each other in church. We come in church, we look at the front, we never look at each other. It's weird. I think pews ought to have swivels on them so we can look at each other. All these people today, you know what they're doing? They're rooting for you. They're proud of you. Even the ones who don't know you, they love you in Christian love, but the ones who know you, oh my goodness, they love you more than you can ever imagine. And the one thing they're hoping for you is that you have a relationship with God. Your generation is teaching us something. You're teaching us something right now. You're teaching us that you can do things to influence the government. You can do things to influence the society. Your generation is uniquely alive in ways that many of our generations weren't at your age. What a powerful thing if we would yoke your abilities and your talents and your insights with the power of the leading of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's direction and the power of the love of Christ alive in your hearts. Choose this day whom you will serve. Define your relationship, but whatever you do, do it fully. Amen and amen.